Mark Dantos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in this hour by Dr. Richard Cummings, who's going to be discussing his new article, Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Dr. Cummings, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions in the first hour of this show, has an absolutely incredible resume. He has been a Middle Eastern consultant for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. He has a very long laundry list of articles that have been written at lewrockwell.com. He's a graduate of both Princeton and Cambridge. He's a member of the Association of Retired Intelligence Officers. He at one time was heavily involved with the Agency for International Development in both Jordan and Israel, if I'm recalling this correctly. And right now he has a new article entitled Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. You can get to this by looking at my post at Breaking All the Rules News, which is at batr.net/BATR News. This whole thing is described in the beginning as a situation where if you think the Iraq war hasn't worked out very well for anyone, think again. Defense contractors such as Lockheed are thriving, and no wonder. Here's the story of how Lockheed's interests, as opposed to those of the American citizenry, set the course of U.S. policy after 9/11. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, Mark. Good to be talking with you, yes.
Yes, in terms of your article for Playboy magazine, what do you see as the character of Lockheed's involvement in Iraq, and who are some of the key players that have been involved in this process, and what are the implications for this when we look at this Lockheed situation, perhaps as a microcosm of a much larger problem with American foreign policy generally? Are we to see that, along with the Israeli lobby and the and oil consortiums, that defense contractors are a driving force in these wars that we've become involved in?
That's absolutely right, Mark. First, let me say that people can see the article in its original form on Playboy.com.
Yes.
There they have a lot of interesting sidebars, the ties that bind the other companies that have been involved in this, plus the various weapons that Lockheed has made. And in addition to this, let me first address the question of the Israel lobby, because that's really important. Most people think that America is just giving a lot of aid to Israel because of political reasons. If you really trace the money, as Ross Perot said, follow the money. We give Israel maybe $3 billion a year in aid. Most of that is military aid. Well, if you look what happens to that money, it turns right around, because Israel then buys F-16 jets, and they're going to replace their whole fleet of F-16 jets with the F-35. They just signed a contract with Lockheed for a $5 billion deal. So that money goes back to Lockheed. And I would really like to know how much Lockheed has contributed to AIPAC. You know, you'd have to see. So a lot of this is delusional. What Lockheed does is, through their new CEO, Bob Stevens, very brilliant guy, and he was on Bush's Committee on the Future of Aeronautics, would you believe, when just before the war broke out. What they do is actually they make policy. They just don't sell technology and aircraft to the United States government. Their executives sit in with the Pentagon executives, and they make these decisions. This was told to me by a former vice president of Lockheed, Bruce Jackson. Now, you asked who the key players are. Well, Bruce Jackson, while he was a vice president of Lockheed, wrote the Republican National Committee's foreign policy at the Bush convention in 2000. And the military contract was platform was actually written by a guy named Tom Donnelly, who's gone back and forth between the American Enterprise Institute and Lockheed, where he was a high official. So they actually had Lockheed people at that convention drafting Bush's policies. Incredible. And when you get to the government itself, the lead player in the government, apart from a dozen figures in the Pentagon who are former Lockheed employees. And
we'll be back. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Richard Cummings, whose latest article for Playboy magazine is entitled Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Isn't that correct, Richard?
That's correct. And let's pick up on the point of who the key players were related to Lockheed that made the policy.
Go ahead.
Most Americans don't realize that Vice President Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, served on the board of Lockheed for quite a number of years, for which she was paid a ton of money and had to do nothing but go to four meetings a year. Also, Cheney's son-in-law, Philip J. Perry, was a registered Lockheed lobbyist before he became general counsel of the Department of Homeland Security and in charge of contracts. But you can get through those players. But the key ones were Stephen Hadley, particularly, who is now the National Security Advisor. While he was Deputy National Security Advisor, before that he had been a lawyer for Lockheed with Shea and Gardner in Washington, a prominent law firm, and he had worked for Lockheed in that capacity. Well, he called Bruce Jackson, the vice president of Lockheed, one of the vice presidents, to his office in the West Wing of the White House and said to him, look, we're going to war, but we don't know really what the reason is to what we can give the public. We need a rationale for that. So he asked Bruce Jackson, then a Lockheed vice president, to form some reason to give them a rationale. And he came up with the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq. So there you have the most important driving force to use military force against Saddam Hussein, the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq, basically formed by a vice president of Lockheed in conjunction with the former Lockheed lawyer, Cheyenne Gardner, the deputy national security advisor, Stephen Hadley. And there you have it. So it was really Hadley who was very, very significant in all of this. And when Bush uttered those famous 16 words about the getting the uranium from Africa, Hadley left those lines in, and it was his job whether it would come in or stay in or go out, but Hadley left it in, and after everyone revealed that it was a hoax, Hadley pleaded mea culpa and said, oh, I never should have done that, I should have taken those lines out. Well, was he punished? No. He was promoted to National Security Advisor himself, in charge of much of the policy regarding the war in Iraq. So there you have it. And the Department of Defense was headed by Rumsfeld, but he was surrounded by all these former Lockheed people who had been major executives in Lockheed, who then became deputy secretary of defense and so on. So it was really, really a Lockheed operation. Now, why would they do this? Well, because they made a ton of money off of it. If you look at all the weapons that were used in Iraq for shock and awe, most of them came from Lockheed, the aircraft, the missiles, all of it. So they made a fortune off of this, and it's not in the article, because afterwards I heard a quote from a guy who worked for the Lockheed plant in Marietta, Georgia, and they asked him, why did they go into Iraq but didn't do more in Afghanistan? And he said, well, there were fewer contracts in Afghanistan. I mean, that sounds pretty cynical, but it really is how it works.
Well, again, it seems to me as I listen to this that you have a frightening collusion then here with a lot of overlapping associations and relationships. You know, you talk about the Israeli lobby and the way in which money given to Israel subsequently is recycled in many cases to American defense contractors. We're talking about a situation where the American Enterprise Institute and some of those folks always seem to figure into some of these machinations one way or another. And now we're talking about a circumstance where, in this scenario, between Stephen Hadley and Bruce Jackson, you arguably have a circumstance where a major defense contractor has basically set up a scenario for war for no other reason than to make a quick buck.
Well, more than that, Mark, just before the Iraq War really broke out, Lockheed was not in such great shape. Their stock was down to 16. There had been lots of cuts in the defense budget under the Clinton administration, and they were not getting that many contracts. But if you look and see what happened up until the leading up to the war and the election of Bush, Lockheed's stock went from 16 to 75, and they got a whole load of new contracts for Bush, from Bush. So you can see they were very, very troubled by their situation under the Clinton administration, and they managed to turn that around. Now, when I was talking to Bruce Jackson in his apartment, you can just say, because I said, look, Bruce, the stock went from 16 to 73.5, and he said, it's 75 now. He sure knew exactly what the price of Lockheed stock was. And if you don't think all these people don't have Lockheed stock in their portfolio, then you really don't understand what's going on. Of course they all do.
Yes, and as you think about this whole business, obviously the whole question of war profiteering comes into play. And as I watch what is happening now in this country's situation with Iran, it seems to be the case that when you look at certain American sources, Pat Buchanan is one that comes to mind, Paul Craig Roberts immediately comes to mind as another, you got a handful of voices on in the American media scene, and generally not to be found in many corporate media circles, who have been sounding the alarm in regard to what is likely to happen with Iran in the next year as far as a preemptive war. The international press, of course, looking abroad, has many, many sources that have been sounding this alarm. Are we to see in this bellicose language coming out of Washington and Tel Aviv when it comes to Tehran, influences like Lockheed potentially lurking in the near-term background?
Of course, and let me just point out one very, very interesting and significant thing that's happened in the past few days to show you the global reach of Lockheed. We all were very concerned, evidently, and certainly they were in the Pentagon, when China used a newly accurate ballistic missile to shoot down one of its old satellites. And everyone said, this is now going to engender a new arms race in space. Well, what none of these articles have told anyone is that Lockheed Martin sold China advanced technology to make their ballistic missiles more accurate, as well as advanced satellite technology. For that, they were hauled before a government agency, which fined them $14 million for violating the Arms Control Export Act. Could you believe that? They were fined only $14 million, which for them is a slap on the wrist. And in exchange for that, they managed to make China's ballistic missiles so accurate that they're going to get a lot of different contracts now to counter that. So the cynicism in Lockheed is unbelievable, and they say that they're very patriotic. Well, if you were patriotic, you wouldn't sell all that technology to China, would you? Now, of course, it's in their interest to have a military buildup leading to a war with Iran. And even if we don't actually go to war with Iran, they're certainly going to give a lot more contracts. As soon as they waive this bellicose language, then the Congress falls in line and votes the Pentagon budget for whatever it wants. And there's no oversight. There's tremendous amounts of waste, and Lockheed gets the contracts. For example, they have this huge contract to build the F-35 new Joint Strike Fighter. And what's interesting about that is a good portion of that contract goes to BAE Systems, which is a British corporation, the major military contractor in Britain and Europe, which had been going bankrupt. So Lockheed bailed them out by bringing them into the F-35. And if you don't think that was one of the reasons Tony Blair went to war, then you really don't understand how this works. It saved him thousands and thousands of jobs because BAE Systems was about to go broke. And of course they did. They get paid on an as-needed basis under that contract. It's not supervised by anyone. And it bailed them out so they were then able to turn around and build the Typhoon jet for Saudi Arabia, which was a $70 billion deal. They would have been in no position to do that had Lockheed not bailed them out.
Well, I tell you, as I listen to this, it becomes absolutely chilling in terms of the ramifications of this. And, of course, I think we are on fairly safe ground in assuming that nobody in the United States Congress is going to be talking about this.
Well, that's a very good point, Mark. Lockheed gives more money to members of Congress than any other defense contract, and they're one of the major contributors of all corporations in America. Now, they gave a lot of money. Most of it goes to Republican congressmen and senators. Most of it does. But if you look to see what happened leading up to the war, Lockheed began giving a lot more money to Democratic congressmen and senators as well. So, of course, they're not going to risk that. Dianne Feinstein, for example, is getting $15,000 every couple of years or more for her campaigns out of Lockheed. So they're not going to vote against Bush's resolution because they're going to lose the money to run for office and be in Congress perpetually, because most people in Congress sit there forever because the way the districts are designed. Most of these districts are non-competitive, and they get all this money to run their campaigns and media, so no one can ever challenge them effectively. It's very, very difficult. And when they get entrenched, then Lockheed comes around, gives them more money, and they're never going to vote against this, ever.
Well, you know, it's interesting, getting back to this whole issue of the Israeli lobby, you know, when that's talked about on shows like this one, typically, it tends to be emphasized in terms of the money that an organization like IPAC is contributing directly into the coffers of this Republican or that Democrat. What I hear you saying is that even more significantly is the way in which the Israeli lobby is supported by many politicians, not out of a genuine moral sense that Zionism is something that should be supported ideologically, but as much because it drives, as it were, the so-called military-industrial complex, which is maybe even a bigger factor in the largesse of these politicians than the money that more narrowly comes from the Israeli lobby itself.
That's exactly correct, Mark. That is exactly right. And, of course, Lockheed can do this because they can then tell a congressman, well, we can build something in your district, you know, and get you some more jobs on top of everything. So, of course, that's how it works. In the case of Israel, it's not the tail wagging the dog. It's Lockheed wagging everybody. So everyone has to understand this.
Wow, this is this to me is an amazing spin that you're putting on this with a tremendous amount of qualitative data there to support this notion. What then are we to make of a situation of this type? Is there any? Because to my knowledge, your article is the only one. We're going to take a commercial break, and then I want to take this up with you, Richard. The fact that your article is the only one that I am aware of that has talked about this angle at all. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Richard Cummings. Stay tuned.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Richard Cummings, who, among many other things, has been a Middle Eastern consultant for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, done a lot of writing for LouRockwell.com, graduate of both Princeton and Cambridge, member of the Association of Retired Intelligence Officers, has formerly been involved in years gone by with the Agency for International Development, as I remember this, in both Jordan and Israel. And his new post for Playboy magazine entitled Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels is one of the most frightening accounts I have ever read. I would say the most frightening account I've ever read in regard to all of the machinations at the highest levels of the current administration. And with both of the major parties having fingers in this pie, I might add, as it relates to defense contractors being involved in the setting not simply of foreign policy, But in the whole issue of war-making capabilities and decisions to go to war being reached by the executive branch of the government. Richard, I've been trying to think about all of the implications of this, which seem to me to be beyond comprehension.
Go ahead. It's not totally beyond comprehension. What people have to understand is America has become a democracy in name only. What we really have here is K Street lobbyists running everything in Washington. Elected members of Congress have very little power. The K Street lobbyists wield the power. They draft the legislation. They contribute to the campaigns. They really, really run the show. Now, we've had these minor reforms passed that you're not going to be able to pay for a congressman's lunch. Well, that's ridiculous. They give loads of money to the campaigns. That's what really counts. And that hasn't been stopped. No one would stop it. So it's K Street that runs Washington. And what's even more scary in the case of Lockheed, people say, well, that's capitalism. But it's not. Capitalism is a free market in which companies compete. Lockheed has basically only one customer, and it's the United States government. So it's not as though this is a free market situation. And what they do is they sell a bill of goods to the Pentagon because the Pentagon knows it's a lot of people in the Pentagon. For example, take a guy like Powell Moore. He was Assistant Secretary of Defense for Legislative Affairs, serving directly under Rumsfeld. But he had become before that a chief of staff of a Republican Senator, Fred Thompson of Tennessee. But Moore was a consultant and vice president for legislative affairs for Lockheed. You have this revolving door going around. Now, a lot of people have become lobbyists for Lockheed, such as Haley Barbour, the governor of Mississippi, who was formerly head of the Republican National Committee. You look at the lists of people who are lobbyists for Lockheed, and it's astounding. When Cheney had that ridiculous incident when he shot a Republican lawyer at Ann Armstrong's ranch, Ann Armstrong's daughter is a registered lobbyist for Lockheed, and she hosted that affair that led to the shooting of that guy. There are so many lobbyists, as Bruce Jackson told me. Lobbyists are hired by Lockheed by the hundreds, and they have lobbyists themselves. So all of these people are working 24 hours a day with virtually unlimited budgets, and that's what makes things go in Washington. Most people in Congress don't do anything. I mean, I interviewed a lot of people in Congress when I wrote my biography of Alan Lowenstein, and one congressman told me, it's a great job, Richard. I don't have anything to do.
Boy, I tell you, you stop and think about this for a minute, and again, the implications of this to me are absolutely draconian. What are we talking about in the way of a solution? Simply removing corporate money from the American political process across the board?
Well, when you're really talking about a solution, Mark, ultimately, this is a question of ethics. And it's very hard to legislate ethics, as I found out, because you can always find a way around it. But one of the things we could do, which is really, I think it's significant, during World War I in the UK, in Britain, the government passed a war profits tax because they said, look, we are at war. These companies are benefiting from the war. They're making all this money while our guys are dying in the trenches. So it's only fair that they should pay for more of this. So they had a rather stiff military profits tax that were imposed upon them. And I think, really, when you look at our budget deficit and the amount of money we're spending in Iraq every day, which is scandalous, and so much of it is waste, that it's only fair and just that the military contractors who have really ripped off on this pay a substantial amount of that money back as taxes to fund this operation because they've made so much money out of it. I think that would help a lot. And also, I think it would really help if you banned political contributions by any company that's doing business with the government. That is absolutely essential.
Yes. And, you know, to me, as I look at this whole thing, again, I see it as something that's not likely to happen, not simply because of the power of the people who are doing these things, not only because of the corporate ownership of major American news media outlets, which otherwise might be willing to cover the character and nature of this problem. But then it seems to me that you're also dealing with the passivity of an American public that no longer reads, and to some extent, even among those who do read, they're not getting their news from the right sources.
Well, that's correct. A company like Lockheed can wave the flag and say, we're patriotic, we provide the arms that defends America. As I said, they don't always do that. They've sold quite a bit of it to China in violation of the law. But apart from that, most Americans think, well, yes, it is patriotic. We need a strong defense. And that's true. We need a strong defense. But we don't have to be ripped off. We don't have to follow policies that benefit Lockheed. For example, I think the most significant thing about Lockheed is the way it sells a bill of goods to both the United States and Israel, for that matter, that air power can solve all of your problems militarily. And of course, that's hugely expensive to buy F-35s in a $5 billion contract. The open-ended contract for the F-35 is over $250 billion. It's unbelievable.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Richard Cummings, who has an incredible article in the current issue of Playboy magazine dealing with the Lockheed Corporation and their role in the events that have transpired in regard to this disastrous situation in Iraq. The title of that article is Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Richard, you were getting ready to discuss the F-35 aircraft, not simply in terms of the implications of the circumstances surrounding the creation and the sale of that aircraft in regard to Lockheed and BAE Systems of Britain and the political process that led to this, but also the military and economic implications of this in terms, if I'm hearing your preliminary remarks correctly, that weapon systems like this one ultimately cause a diversion of funds from other military programs into these types of high-ticket items that may paradoxically, if I'm hearing the direction in which you were starting to go correctly, paradoxically might reduce our level of military readiness.
That's exactly correct. Now you see a new Secretary of Defense saying, Gates, we really need to have more Army troops and Marines. Well, Rumsfeld cut back our ground forces tremendously, and we went into Iraq. We went into Iraq with not sufficient ground troops, and the reason for that was Rumsfeld said, "You don't need them. We have air power. We'll take them out. It will be a blitzkrieg. Our troops will go in there and win. We don't need that many troops at all, and we don't need that many soldiers in the army." Well, that was a bill of goods sold to everyone by Lockheed. They said, "Look, air power will solve everything for you. You don't need all those troops on the ground." You had General Shinseki saying you need at least 250,000 troops to go into Iraq. Of course, he was right, and Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld belittled him, and of course, he was basically sacked. And of course, he was right. And now everyone recognizes we never had enough troops on the ground in Iraq. Now, that's going to be the same thing in the future, but now they're trying to build up the Army and the Marines after the fact. And now the Army and the Marines have been begging for more money and more troops, but all of it goes into air power. And that, as we see, doesn't necessarily win you the war, does it? But it certainly makes an awful lot of money for Lockheed.
Well, you know, an old political science prof of mine sent me an article in recent days from the RAND Review by a James T. Quinlivan, who's a military analyst and senior mathematician at RAND. And the title of this article is "The Burden of Victory, the Painful Arithmetic of Stability Operations." And to make a long story short, Quinlivan says in about the third paragraph here that when you start talking about outside intervention in situations like the one that we presently have in Iraq, you have to have a certain so-called force ratio. Successful strategies for population security and control have required force ratios either as large as or larger than 20 security personnel, troops and police combined, per 1,000 inhabitant. This figure is roughly 10 times the ratio required for simple policing of a tranquil population. And then turning to the next page, basically Quinlivan says that the population of Iraq today is nearly 25 million. That population would require 500,000 foreign troops on the ground to meet a standard of 20 troops per 1,000 residents. This number is more than three times the number of foreign troops now deployed in Iraq, and then this is accompanied by a very large graph. Aren't we dealing with a situation here? We're just using Quinlivan's data. If it's at all accurate, we're talking about a situation where the Wolfowitz-Rumsfeld doctrine of just having a handful of troops and emphasizing high-tech weaponry and air power has us now completely behind the eight ball in this thing?
Absolutely it does, but of course when you see that military strategy coming out of the Pentagon is driven not by America's self-interests, but by the profit of Lockheed, you understand why this has happened.
Yes. And so it seems to me not to be a stretch of the imagination then, if the implications of your article are correct, we're talking about a circumstance where arguably the leading defense contractor in America, in collusion with the Pentagon, has produced a military policy in Iraq that has cost over 3,000 Americans their lives and with no end in sight, and that we're looking at a circumstance conceivably where the present types of policies that have led to this are likely to continue and continue in a fashion which will mean more loss of life, no resolution of the situation, and no end in sight when it comes to this whole thing.
Well, that's true. And, of course, it backfired on Israel as well when it attacked Lebanon. It went in there primarily with air power, and you see it didn't work. They did not defeat Hezbollah. It doesn't work. You need ground troops. Now Bush says we're going to increase the size of the army and the Marines, but it's after the fact, isn't it? Iraq is a disaster in policy, largely because of its reliance on air power. Now, how did we get the F-35 in the first place? Well, under President Clinton, he decided that we needed to have a larger military contractor than any existed at the time to be able to fund, able to produce this aircraft at huge expense. So he pushed for the merger of the Lockheed Corporation with Martin Marietta. Now, that was a hugely expensive deal, and most people don't know that that was paid for entirely by U.S. taxpayer money. Lockheed and Martin Marietta didn't put up any money. All the lawyers got paid with our money. So this gigantic company was created to produce the F-35, and Clinton waived all the conflict of interests requirements so that his Secretary of Defense, Perry, could engage in this activity because he had once worked for Martin Marietta. Incredible. So this giant behemoth was created of Lockheed Martin and took over most of the military contracts, all because it was assumed that a larger company would do a better job in producing up-to-date technology. Well, that proved not to be the case, and it proved also that it started out creating a failed policy in Iraq by reliance on air power instead of ground troops. It really is scandalous, and it's surprising to me that Americans aren't in a state of utter outrage at this, because they should be.
Yeah, you know, you look at the passivity of the American public up to now in regard to this whole disaster. It's largely unfathomable in my judgment. And as I look at this talk now of some type of a preemptive aerial campaign being waged against Iran, mm-hmm. and in regard to these 10 to 12 to 20 nuclear power sites that are thought to be involved in this whole situation, when I look at your analysis of Lockheed and Iraq, it puts into perspective these ominous comments that were made the other day by Lieutenant General William Odom to the Nieman Foundation at Harvard University, when he was saying, hey, look, if these guys are talking about a campaign of aerial preemption against Iran, that's not – and General Odom does not favor that, by the way. But he said, even if you do favor it, he said, the fact of the matter is it would have to be followed by boots on the ground. How many boots on the ground do you think this type of an operation in Iran would take? And where in the world, given our present difficulties with our force structure, where do we come up with those kinds of boots on the ground to occupy a country of 70 million people?
Well, that's right, and it's not really something that's possible. But once again, you have the situation where Odom is ignored, and the air power argument is accepted once again. It's deeply flawed. But once again, you're looking at what drives this policy, and that policy is driven by the implication of having defense contractors like Lockheed helping to make the decisions with the people in the Pentagon, and they have this overly optimistic view of themselves. We can do this all with air power. And they really do believe that because it's what drives their market. So their self-interest propels them to project this kind of policy on the Pentagon, which goes along with it because so many people in the Pentagon have at one point worked for Lockheed or are planning to work for it once they leave. And that's all they care about.
Well, yeah, let's return for a second to the Shinseki situation that you described. I mean, I remember specifically when he was saying that this whole thing with Iraq could not possibly be undertaken with anything less than a quarter of a million troops. And, of course, for having said that, he was sacked. Are we to presume, then, that if there are any Shinsekis in the present American defense establishment in the Pentagon, that they are going to be silenced because of the amount of control and influence that Lockheed has in this process, and that basically what we're likely to end up with in Iran is more of a Rumsfeldian doctrine, even minus Rumsfeld?
Well, it's probably true. I would say this, that Bush has announced his plans to increase the size of the Army and the Marines sizably. Well, that was something that should have been done ages ago, and there's no substitute for our troops on the ground. But you can't have your troops on the ground exposed to constant harassment and guerrilla warfare, essentially, going from building to building. It just doesn't work. And we are seeing that. Putting in 20,000 additional troops is not going to affect that positively. But if you ask why are people silent about that, I was watching CNBC just the other night, which has all their programs about the stock market and what stocks to buy. And at the end of the year, just after New Year, I was watching this woman who was giving an analysis of what stocks you should buy. And she said all portfolios should probably have Lockheed in them because it's a very good company. The stock keeps going up. So as long as you have that many investors putting that in their portfolio, they're not going to be silent. And then someone had the temerity to ask this stock analyst on CNBC, well, who are the major beneficiaries of the troop surge in Iraq? And he just blandly said, well, the major beneficiary will be BAE Systems because the 20,000 troops will rely mostly on small arms, and BAE Systems does a lot of small arms. BAE Systems is now a large American defense contractor. They have a huge American company subsidiary, which is now number six defense contractor in the United States. That all happened since it got the contract to build the F-35 with Lockheed. Now, most people think Paul Wolfowitz is this big ideologist, he's pro-Israel, he's all these things, and that's why he launched this policy, and that's not true. Wolfowitz has been a paid consultant to the Northrop Grumman Corporation, which paid him quite a lot of money. And Northrop Grumman also has a big contractor for the weapons that went into the war in Iraq and is also one of the major subcontractors on building the F-35. So I really think people need to understand where Wolfowitz was coming from. It's all whose pockets are getting lined, Mark. And that's what happens, and that's what drives the policy.
Well, I tell you, that does put a different spin on this because, like most people, I had been looking at Wolfowitz and figuring, well, here is a guy who is just another extension of the Israeli lobby. He ideologically seems to have the typical pro-Zionist agenda. He's one of a series of neoconservatives who have been advising the president to do these things, largely because his ideological predilections are to be found in Tel Aviv, presumably, and not necessarily in the continental United States. But this Lockheed angle and the amount of money that we're talking about and the projects like this F-35 and the number of people profiting by this would seem to put a completely different slant on it, which in some respects, I would argue, would make Wolfowitz look and people like him look even worse than they already look, because at that juncture, it would seem that their motivation would not be an ill-conceived ideological commitment to Zionism, but would look like simply a mercenary commitment to the greatest amount of money that they could possibly make and that could be made by their friends.
Okay, let's go through a number of people here in addition to Wolfowitz. Northrop Grumman makes the B-2, the RQ-4 Global Hawk unmanned aerial drone, and a Star Wars laser system. Now, in addition to Wolfowitz being a paid consultant, Douglas Feith, who was at the Pentagon as Undersecretary of Defense and was the person who cooked most of the intelligence, was also a founder of the Feith & Zell law firm, whose clients included Northrop Grumman. Now, you have to understand that his motives were driven by that. And also Richard Perle, everyone sees as this big ideologist supporting the war in Iraq. Well, Richard Perle's venture capital firm, Trireme Partners, received $20 million from the Boeing company. He's also a member of the Pentagon Defense Policy Board. So there you see Wolfowitz making $20 million off of the Boeing company. Now, they are a big military contractor as well. They don't just make civil jets for aircraft companies, for civil aviation. They received $17.1 billion in defense contractors in 2004. So there you see Douglas Feith making money off of this, Richard Perle, Wolfowitz. They were all on the, you know, getting money for doing this, and that drove their ideology. Believe me, ideology does not drive the policy. It is money that drives the ideology, and that's really the crux of it all.
Well, when we start looking at the costs of this thing, I think the latest figures, as near as I can ascertain this, are approximately $8 billion a month when it comes to Iraq alone. I don't know what this war is costing a month in Afghanistan, but when we look at the amount of borrowed money involved in this, the American government borrowing money from a series of Asian bankers, for example, at what point does the downturn in the fortunes of the American dollar and the threat of some of these American debt instruments being jettisoned on the open market by some of these Asian banks, if we should go into Iran, is this a real threat that we could see a policy that, however money-driven it is for these guys, might result in a larger economic and political catastrophe that ultimately would even take these guys down?
Well, that's true, Mark. What's tragic is that most Americans don't seem to have much concern about the 3,000 troops that were killed and the 25,000 or more that have been seriously maimed and injured because we don't have a draft. So it's very limited, and that's tragic. So most American people say, well, it really doesn't affect me, so I'm going about my life and the economy is good. Well, what people really need to understand, and no one seems to be educated educating them on this, is that war is always an inflationary activity. And now the Fed is probably going to raise interest rates several times more because of the inflationary situation now in the United States, which is really driven by the war. Now, if that happens, the interest rates go up. It becomes that much more expensive to finance a home. Your credit card interest will go up. All these things will happen because of driven by this debt and by the inflation that is caused by war spending, profiteering in this way. Now, most American people don't even think about that. But yes, it's going to come home at some point. And really, it's coming home very soon because the interest rates are already going up because of the inflationary pressures. This affects everyone's lives in the United States. It costs more to buy a car. All these things are true. And no one is telling the American people what is driving this. They cannot put two and two together. And they have a very short attention span. So I don't really know how you're going to address this. Now, here you have Nancy Pelosi in the Congress saying, we're going to have this resolution opposing the war, but we're not going to cut off the funding. Well, who wants to cut off the funding if you're going to be called a traitor and a cut-and-run person, and the next thing you know, you're going to be thrown out of office? So they're not going to cut the funding. They will give them whatever money they want. That's going to happen, and they all will get the contributions from Lockheed, even though now they're Democrats.
Yes, and presumably... This virtually guarantees what I think we've already seen, and that is that the first Tuesday in November really has not and will not produce any substantive changes in this policy, because if it is true that the money drives the ideology, both the money and the ideology are leading the United States into a wider disaster. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Richard Cummings. We'll be back.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in this hour of the show has been Dr. Richard Cummings, Middle Eastern consultant for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, graduate of both Princeton and Cambridge, member of the Association of Retired Intelligence Officers, in past years employed by the Agency for International Development in places like Jordan and Israel. Very renowned playwright as well. We might get into that before this segment closes here in these final minutes. Richard, I was going to ask you in regard to all the things that we've been talking about here related to Lockheed and this China missile deal. We've talked about the F-35 and how BAE Systems fits into that. The rise of Lockheed stock since this debacle began from $16 to $75 a share. Names like Stephen Hadley and Bruce Jackson, Powell Moore, Douglas Feith, Richard Pearl, and Northrop Grumman. I mean, it all leads to a very, very sordid picture. How does the Carlyle Group fit into all of this?
Not particularly. The Carlyle Group actually, one of the main forces there, of course, is James Baker. Now, James Baker really was opposed to the war. And I'm not sure what Frank Carlucci's position is. But, of course, they have invested heavily in military contractors, so ultimately they were benefited. But I don't see them as major players in this at all.
Yes, that's interesting. So that would it be safe to say that, in your judgment, the Lockheed Martin Corporation has been the real driving force behind this whole thing?
Yes. Let me just, before we wrap this up, go through some deep politics,
sure,
if you will. Now, when Bruce Jackson started the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq, he told me that he knew nothing about Iraq. So he turned the day-to-day operations to a Republican operative named Randy Schoenman. Randy Schoenman worked for Trent Lott, in which capacity he drafted the Iraq Liberation Act, which gave $97 million in Pentagon money to fund the Iraq National Congress, which was led by Ahmed Chalabi. Now, Chalabi was the guy who went around with Judith Miller and told her where all Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction were. So you can see that's where it all happened. And then Schoenman, when he left the government, and then finally when he left the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq, went to work as head of the Mercury Group, was a Lockheed lobbyist. Extraordinary. So that's really the revolving door going full speed, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and just thinking about Schoenman, there's a name, for example, and I'm a reasonably well-read person. I had never come across his name in any of this, had not come across Jackson's name in any of this before now. So this puts into perspective, in my view, the way in which these guys, up to now at least, before your article came along, they were pretty much operating under radar.
Well, that's true, and Bruce Jackson told me that if John McCain is elected president, Randy Schoenman is going to be his national security director. So that's really something to keep in mind.
How does Schoenman spell his last name?
Okay, it's Randy Schoenman, S-C-H-E-U-N-E-M-A-N-N.
Very good. Boy, I tell you, that is grim information, Dr. Cummings. I really wanted to thank you for taking an hour out of your schedule to be with us today. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Richard Cummings has other appointments, so he has to leave us at this point in the show. But again, I would refer you to his article for Playboy magazine, Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Mark Glenn after the break.
The eye of Attention, friends of